Ocean FM.
Hello, we're Gaith Fáil Siúcadaí Arts North West, a Craola o Onad na Atlanta, broadcasting from the Glen's Arts Centre at Blúnín, I Ruark, in Manor Hamilton, in the lovely Leitrim, with myself, Brendan Murray, and on sound, Mark Gavin. On this week's show, we'll be having a chat with the great comedian Deirdre O'Kane, who's playing a show next week in the Hawkswell. And we'll also be having a chat with the director of the Yeats Society Sligo, Susan O'Keefe, and looking at their upcoming Yeats Day celebrations. One of Ireland's most foremost artistic trailblazers, Druid Theatre, founded in the mid-70s in Galway, are back on the road post-COVID, which is always a delight. They are at this stage world-renowned, and they're doing a production of someone who I think is one of Ireland's most unsung heroes in playwriting. That's Billy Roach from Wexford, and it's The Cavalcaders, and it's coming up to the Hawkswell in Sligo on Wednesday, the 8th of June. That's next Wednesday, as part of their national tour. And I'm delighted to welcome one of the stars of Cavalcaders, Amelia Crowley. Hi, Amelia. You're very welcome to Arts North West.
I'm very happy to be a part of your show. Thank you very much for having me.
Indeed. And Amelia, your listeners mightn't know, but you're very familiar from roles in Fair City and Derry Girls and all of that. But I know, like an awful lot of actors, stage would probably be the one that you're probably doing love doing most. Tell us how you got involved, first of all, yourself in acting.
From very young, I was quite precocious and chatty, and so it became a thing that, oh, you'll end up on the stage, and therefore I took that as an instruction as opposed to an option. It was just something, it was spoken about quite, you know, flippantly, I suppose, growing up, but it was something that possibly provoked an interest for me. And, yeah, it almost wasn't a choice for me. I call my desire to be an actor more of a kind of almost a bug or an illness or a disorder or something. I don't know. It's not a choice. It's something that I just really knew that from very early on that I really, really wanted to do. And luckily, I had the support of my wonderful family, my mum and dad, Margaret and John Ole, and they helped me get into a place where I could train in Trinity College. And moving forth then, they've always been really supportive of me. So that's kind of my route in, yeah.
Great. And what's the character you play in Fair City?
Oh, I don't play it anymore. I just did it. I did two periods of playing one character there for a second.
And how did you find that as distinct from theatre?
It's just a very different animal. I suppose it's much more, I don't know, how to express this. It's a very intensive day-long, day-to-day immersion in your workload, learning scripts quite quickly, filming.
But then it's kind of out there, it's gone, it's kind
and
of
then it's out there, yeah, and it's gone, yeah. Absolutely.
Not like the discipline that you need every night on doing a show on the road.
It's a different discipline, takes a lot in other aspects of your life and your skills as a performer. So, yeah, but
sure.
I think you said earlier at the start of the interview, I have not been on stage for a number of years because I'm rearing my family, and I kind of chose television and film because they worked better with my scheduling.
Right,
and
interesting.
So when this opportunity came along, I sat down with my husband and my family, and we spoke about what it would mean, and I'm so, so delighted that we've managed to...
So how long is it since you were on stage?
The last play I did was A Little Gem in the Bush. Elaine Murphy's great three-hander with the late and beautiful Anita Reeves and Sarah Green, who has propelled meteorically into the world of television and film since then as well. So two amazingly talented women. Yeah.
Right, is it a particularly nerve-wracking thing going back on after a few years?
No, it's not. It's a really, I've really embraced it. Nothing to fear but fear itself.
Sure.
I felt very ready for this right now. I loved the play and the piece, and when I thought things couldn't get any better, I walked into a room where Erin Monaghan was directing, and the cast was led by
Gareth
Dunbar.
This show has been directed by someone who's better known, really, as an actor, Erin Monaghan, fabulous actor himself.
He does
a lot of work with Druid, obviously. And yeah. Cavalcaders, like I say, Billy Roach, I remember reading his Tumbling Down novel, and that's what I fell in love with his work, which is about small town life in Wexford. His family owned a pub. And Cavalcaders, like Billy Roach, of course, people of a certain generation would remember he had the Roach Band. It's described as a comic and tender portrait of life in small town, pre-Celtic Tiger Ireland, and the men who lived there. And I mean, he is Billy Roach. I think it's through his characters. Now, he always has a great narrative through, and this is an unusual one because it has a musical element to it.
Yeah, and it's a memory play as well, so it deals with flashback and periods of time, and it follows the journey of Terry, who is kind of in, I suppose, he's processing his life in some way, having a kind of an existential crisis of some sort, and flashing back to his glory days, and I suppose the beginning of the end of the world that he held as precious to him, which is kind of the end of the Cavalcaders group. Everything kind of falling apart, things changing in his life. Yeah. It's beautifully, the characters are so beautifully crafted, and every actor on that stage, I can tell you, delights in the role that they play and wants to bring their best.
And it is a great cast, including the likes of Sean Kearns and Garrett Lombard. And tell
and
us...
Also, can I say the younger actors? I'm sorry, because I can't skip over them. We've got Misha Dunbar and Tiernan Messett-Green, and we have...
Ailish McLaughlin,
and their talent is just so delicious to be around as well. I mean, you've got the undisputable kind of craft that Gareth and Sean have through their years of, experience and expertise, and retaining the passion that they do for their work, and to then just be surrounded on the other side with these thriving, vibrant,
brings
young
a different
talent.
Energy to it.
It's just. I can't tell you, it's the most wonderful.
Brilliant. And you're playing at the moment in Galway.
We are. We're in Galway at the moment. And I think we're in Sligo on the...
Next Wednesday, the 8th.
8th
yeah.
of June.
Great.
Yeah.
But you're also...
Longford on the 10th, the 12th in Roscommon, the 15th and 16th in Limerick. I'm giving you all the dates here.
Sure,
the
no,
the
do.
The 18th, Wexford 21st, 22nd, Waterford 24th, 3rd
wow.
and 26th. And Dublin then from the 29th till the 2nd of July. And I am already crying at the thoughts of being over because I love it so much. This play is such a rewarding exploration of character, of music, of passion, of torment.
And you have the wonderful Morgan Cook in as musical director.
Absolutely well, stunning job I, there. And beautiful creative team. And I, let me just say, like, the whole Druid creative team and
as ever
production
yeah.
team.
Well, I think any of our listeners will know you don't need to sell Druid, but if I can sell Cavalcaders,
individuals, it's the individuals behind it that make it what it is, and that's why Druid is what it is.
If I can sell Cavalcaders, it's a play I've seen a number of times. It's a wonderful, wonderful piece of work by Billy Roach, by a wonderful company. Well, the very best of luck. We look forward
Thank
to having you.
You
up here in the Northwest
next
week.
Look forward to being there. Come in and say hello to
and the very best of luck, Amelia Crowley. An absolute pleasure. And tickets are through Hawkswell.com. The annual Yeats Day is occurring on Monday, the 13th of June, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Susan O'Keefe, who runs the Yeats Society Sligo. Forgive me, what runs it? What's your official title, Susan?
Director
of the Yeats Society, no more than myself, but whatever that means. Great to talk to you again, Susan. So,
always
Susan,
good to talk.
How are you geared up for this year, given, because you've had, you know, you've been doing renovations on the wonderful building there in Sligo and, you know, post-pandemic?
We're very excited to be, like I suppose many other people this year, in person, up and running, all guns blazing, so to speak. And we are opening the Yeats Day weekend on Friday the 10th of June, you know, just to get people a little used to the idea of a birthday party.
Very good.
And importantly, we're opening our own new exhibition here at the Yeats building. So there's been a permanent exhibition here for many years, and it has changed shape and style over many years. And so we've been working on this one through the dark depths of winter, and it will be called The Poetic Mind of William Butler Yeats. So it's being launched and opened at 1 o'clock on Friday the 10th of June. And I would like to take the chance to thank the Department of Culture and the Minister for Culture herself, Catherine Martin, for personally wanting to see this happen. It made a huge difference to us to be able to get that kind of funding to help to sort of change the way we look at Yeats and to help more people begin to understand maybe why it is that he has endured for three centuries at this stage. So that's really exciting.
For sure. And yeah. Then I know the Hamilton Gallery opened an exhibition last weekend, was it, or the weekend before, which is
they
one
did
in
indeed.
Conjunction
they
with it.
They have a beautiful exhibition which is 19 artists responding to one of Yeats's most beautiful poems, Lapis Lazuli. And the work is just absolutely gorgeous. So, of course, the great thing about the Hamilton Gallery is you can buy the work, but you can also go and enjoy it.
Yes.
And it's free. So that's always wonderful. And the gallery is beautiful space. And
it is on Castle Street there, yeah.
Yeah, on Cannon there. So we'd recommend that people might, you know, take a little time and go in there while they're there. And, of course, there are Jack Yeats up in the model. And we will, as part of our new exhibition here, we'll have some unseen piece from Elizabeth Yeats, who is his sister, and also a piece by Anne Yeats, his daughter, that's not been seen before, and two pieces by Jack Yeats' wife, who was also an artist, Mary Cottenham Yeats, who also not seen before. So we're joining in on the visual side as well as on the poetic side. We're just trying to, if you like, give more to the visitor, wherever they're from, if they're from the other side of Sligo or the other side of the world. You know, we're trying to offer more ways to understand and to enjoy the work of the Yeats family in its extended fashion.
Sure. And would you be hopeful, expecting some post-pandemic, some overseas visitors?
Well, there are lots of overseas visitors already around Sligo Town. We've met them, quite a number of them. We had two groups of Australians in earlier in the week, not connected to each other, and that's quite unusual.
Wow.
We've seen quite a lot of Americans. We've seen quite a lot of English people, Scottish people. So, yes, people are coming.
Great.
And, of course, the other great thing is we've been running now for a number of years the Nyland Lecture as part of our Yeats Day event. And it's to honour Nora Nyland, who was the county librarian in Sligo many years ago, who took it upon herself wisely to collect some great works by the many visual artists at the time, including Jack Yeats, which is why that exhibition is up at the model. So, but Nora was also involved in setting up the Yeats Society in 1960. She was a very busy woman. And so this year, the Nyland Lecture is being delivered by Dr. Hilary Pyle, and it's about Susan Mitchell, and it's called Protestantism Within Irish Culture. And the lovely thing is it's a collaboration with the Across the Lines project, which, of course, you've been running at the Glen Centre.
Yes.
Over the past few months. And we're delighted to be able, in a small way, to collaborate with that project, because it's very important for us culturally and also just, you know, on a convenience basis, to strengthen all the relationships that we can across the border here. We are a border county, and as is Leitrim, and it's just good to meet people and to chat with them and have a glass of wine or a cup of tea and just talk about things. And so I'm really looking forward to that event. And of course, Hilary Pyle is just a standout lecturer, and she's a wonderful woman, and she'll be speaking about Jack Yeats, her other great passion in life, on Saturday afternoon, as part of the weekend's events. And we're also running a poetry walk at Hazelwood in Sligo.
Lovely.
It'll be led by Beatrice MacDonald, who's a woman who knows Hazelwood exceptionally well. She almost, I think, probably knows every tree. She knows all the history of Loch Gill. It's a beautiful place to spend time. And so people who will join in are also free to read their own favourite poem. It doesn't even have to be a Yeats poem. It can be any poem at all. And it's just lovely to get out into the countryside, into the fresh air, and hear the birds and be by the lake for a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
we've a little bit more. We have on Saturday evening, we're having at 6 o'clock, we're having a Yeats, the Oysters and Moon experience in conjunction with WB's Cafe, which runs the Oyster Experience. So there's an offering of six oysters and some wine. for €20, and there'll be a talk about a little bit about Yates and also about the moon and the impact it has on the tides and how that affects oysters and the fact that the oysters that grow here are particularly valued across the world because of the quality of the water. And then on Sunday, we'll be having Eileen Kilgannon students performing The Dreaming of the Bones, which is one of Yeats's shorter plays. And that will be followed then by a Ulysses centenary celebration led by Paul Murray, who is related to James Joyce's mother.
That's Paul Murray, the writer?
No, Paul Murray, who is actually a member of the Yeats Society. But his great aunt was Mae Murray, who's James Joyce's mother.
Okay, well.
So he's part of what the Joyce has described as the dreadful Murrays from Leitrim.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll be having some Burgundy and Gorgonzola cheese, and just chatting about Ulysses. On the birthday itself, we'll be doing our great global social media campaign, which we've been running for a number of years now, in conjunction with the Hamilton Gallery, where it's hashtag Yeats Day. And we're just inviting anybody and everybody to read a poem, draw a picture, sing a song, take a photograph of something that inspires them about Yeats, and just tag it as hashtag Yeats Day. And just enjoy Yeats on his birthday. And we'll have our wonderful free birthday cake sponsored by O'Hare's Bakery once again. They've been with us for the 11 years. And we thank them once again for their generosity and for their persistence in supporting us with this a birthday cake each and every year. We'll be cutting the cake outside the Yeats building on our lovely new pavement, finished, we hope, by then, by Sligo County Council.
We've all been watching them because we drive past it doing it, but it's coming to fruition. Congratulations as ever, Susan, on a wonderful, wonderful lineup for the weekend, and particularly Yeats Day the 13th. And you'll get all details through the Yeats Society. But I'm sure you can't miss it if you're wandering around Sligo. There'll be such a buzz.
We hope people will just join in. You know, it's mostly free.
Which is brilliant.
Just to just have a bit of pleasure in Yeats and come in and see our new exhibition and just enjoy it. And hopefully the sun might even shine for us. And we'll have loads
It's guaranteed. Susan O'Keefe, Director of the Yeats Society Sligo, many, many thanks and continued success with all your endeavours.
Thanks so much, Brendan.
Coming up in the Hawkswell, Deirdre O'Kane, one of Ireland's finest comedians and also a wonderful actress and our actor. And I'm going to welcome, first of all, Deirdre. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Brendan. Thanks for having me.
Delighted. Welcome to Arts Northwest. Deirdre, it's as an actor I would have come across you first in Druid's production of At the Black Pig Dykes, written by Vincent Woods, a neighbour of ours here, good Leitrim man, in Druid back in the early 90s. And I shudder to think how long ago it was, and you played opposite Frankie McCafferty. And you played Miss Funny in that, which, of course, then turns out you became a comedian
Funny.
And a Miss Funny. How was the transition, and I'm sure you've been asked this many a time, from acting into stand-up?
You know what, it was a complete accident. I had no intention of becoming a comedian. I didn't know anything about it. I'd never really seen any live comedy. My husband was a filmmaker, and he was making a documentary about the Cattle Arts Festival. I was kind of frustrated at the time. I mean, most actors are frustrated, you know, for a fair portion of the year you're hustling trying to get work and you're always between jobs, you
indeed
know? And I was given out a lot. I was given out a bit, not being hired, and he said, well, why don't you come to Kilkenny and be a gopher for me, you know, I could do with some help. So I basically was gifted a laminate, you know, a sort of access all areas laminate for the weekend, and that was it. I used that laminate to see an awful lot of comedy, live comedy, over 3 or 4 days. And I think a penny just dropped. I was watching it thinking, I could do that. You know, I think I could do that. And I went back and played that festival the following year as a comic. So it was fast.
Well, two things. First of all, it's one thing to say, I can do that. And as we know, we're all great armchair critics. And many people look at stand-up and say, Eric, come on, sure, I could do that. And they try it and they fail. You know, it may have come about by happenstance, but was it that you observed what was going on there? Did you say, Well, do you know what? I think I could do that and maybe better. And I don't need to point out, not easy for a female to come into that world.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't even consider those things. There was no conversation about gender back then, and it didn't enter my head at all. And the thing about me looking at it and thinking I could do that was so green, you know, because basically I think what
so
I was
you,
thinking
you, you wouldn't do it now, for example.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. And in fact, I've been trying to get out of it really ever since. Yeah. It won't let me get out. But I think what I thought was, sure, I'm already doing this as an actress. You know, I was looking at a comedian delivering a monologue and I thought, that's just a monologue. You know, it's like what I'm doing that in plays already. You know, the only I had to write that monologue. I had to go away and write it.
Sure.
But I wasn't factoring that in. I was just thinking about the performance.
Yeah.
And I guess I had been cast, as you mentioned, that I played Miss Funny, I had been cast as an actress, I think, in quite a bit of comedy.
Sure, obviously, because I remember that the two of you, yourself and Frankie, were just magnificent. And you had the pigtails, hadn't you? And you had this kind of... It was clown-like. Yeah. It was fantastic. So when I saw you veer into comedy, I kind of went, yeah, that's no surprise. And so that's interesting. So you didn't feel as a female that there was... But I suppose there were very, very, very few females. So you were a trailblazer in a way.
I mean, really, really, I was on my own. Really, I was on my own for a long time. I mean, and it's really only with hindsight, and because a lot of people ask me that question now, that I realise it was difficult. Like, it was hard to always be the only woman when you walked into a comedy club to play it. And I was the only woman for about 10 years. But I think I became... I like boys, and I like all my male colleagues, and I became one of the lads to fit in. That was my...
Interesting.
Everybody copes differently, but that's what I did.
Sure.
That was my way of.
And I don't need to remind listeners that, you know, you've gone on to phenomenal success, and right up to the point where you have the Deirdre O'Kane show, which launched on Sky Max.
I know. I was up all night trying to think of a title, so we just settled on that.
Well, does what it says in the tin. And how's that been going for you?
It went very well. It was very well received. It was hard.
Well, you had stellar guests on it, yeah.
Stellar guests, and it was difficult now because we made it in COVID and we had a very small audience in the Olympia, so it was not easy to do. But listen, we got it made.
Congratulations. And then tell us, being back in the road post COVID, and like I say, you're coming to the Hawkswell. How has that been for you?
I honestly, it's been such a relief. To get back out there, I have to tell you. I don't think I knew how much I needed it, and I certainly didn't realise how much I missed it until it was kind of taken away. You know, maybe we were just all a bit too casual about what we had. I don't know, but I have found it really joyous getting back to normal.
Excellent.
A kind of normal.
Yeah, sure. So it's tomorrow week, June 10th, tickets through Hawkswell.com.
And you know something, Brendan, when you were saying to me about talking about the Black Big Dyke and it being one of my first plays, my very first plays were in Hawkswell.
Okay.
My very first, I was 18, straight out of school pretty much, working for Acorn Theatre Company, and I was ensconced in the Hawkswell for 6 months.
Now, you're from Drogheda. What brought you to Sligo at 18?
A job.
Okay.
Acorn Theatre Company was a little Falls scheme.
Okay.
A little acting fall scheme was my first paid acting work ever.
So that's interesting. So at that age, you were, because not many mammies and daddies would you allow it in those days, you were determined to make try and go for it on stage.
Yeah, there was never anything else I wanted to do. So I think they just thought, let her at it. You know, I was going to do it. There was going to be no stopping me. So.
Do you think there was a thing of let her at it and let her work herself out of it and then she'll settle down and be sensible?
I think they thought, sure, look, let her enjoy her little pipe dream there.
Indeed. Well, good on you. You're still enjoying it.
You know, my father had 5 kids and he needed us off the payroll so fast.
I don't
think he cared what the hell we did as long as we made our own way.
Absolutely. I'm with him on that one. And tell us then, I kind of find it interesting. You know, when comedians, you know, title their shows. I mean, it's very simple and straightforward. Demented.
Demented just covers where I have been for the last couple of years, you know, and a lot of people, I suspect. I mean, when all of the live work was stopped, there was an awful lot of complications that went with that. But I also became a woman of a certain age over those 2 years, and the menopause and having teenagers and having older parents and all of that, those things basically left me demented.
How many kids have you?
I've only got two. Right. I know it sounds like I have half a dozen.
That's enough.
I feel like I have a half a dozen.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Great. And so if it, that awful question, what can we expect? I mean, you know, I don't need to tell people, you know, the Guardian says you have a unique star quality. The Scotsman says it, the applause just follows her all the way down the street. The List says O'Kane dazzles from start to finish. I mean, you can't get better than that.
So nice. I sound so good on paper.
Well, I think, Deirdre, we both know, you know, it's not easy. You earn these things. You know, they're not easily thrown out, plaudits like that, you know, genuinely.
No, they're not. The jokes don't come fast. It's, you know, people don't realise the amount of time it actually takes to create a show.
Indeed.
And this one, I think, is possibly my best. So that's the nice thing about getting older.
Lovely to be able to say that.
I suspected that maybe it would get harder and it would go away, but in actual fact, I think I've improved like a wine. With certainly my writing, I don't know about anything else. My face has fallen into the sea, which is that's another word.
Welcome to my world. Great. Well, look, I have absolutely no doubt it's going to be a night to treasure. So it's tomorrow week, June the 10th, at the Hawkswell. You get tickets at hawkswell.com or through 071-916-1518. I wish you every continued success, Deirdre. Well deserved. And good luck with your show in Sligo and on tour around Ireland. A pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure. I can't wait for it.
Before we finish up, I'd just like to give a shout out to a few events happening over the next week or two in the area. The annual John McKenna weekend takes place, the McKenna Festival in Drumcarran takes place next weekend. It's from the 9th to the 12th of June, always a wonderful, wonderful occasion. And details are available at johnmckenna.ie, but it's featuring the likes of Liam Kelly, Dave Sheridan, Pádraig McGovern. So a weekend of wonderful trad festivities in Drumcarran. And on that weekend also is the annual celebration for youth called Cruinniú na n-Óg, agus Béisir Siúil an Seo I Dlúni Ní Rúach, ag W8 Ósta, the restaurant there, whereby we put up a stage every year, ag a Cathra Clog, 4 o'clock, Saturday the 11th. And it will feature the cream of talent that comes through our annual rock school here in the Glen Centre, which takes place in July. And if anybody has anybody under 18 wanting to take part in our rock school, please get in touch with us, the Glen Centre, at 98558330 71. And the previous day, on Friday, tomorrow week, as part of Cruinniú na n-Óg, we'll also have some food and cookery demonstrations with youngsters from the area at the Fulacht Fia Cafe at the Castle. Sinna will de Gwini Ushla than Shocht and Shot and Shocht and Shogging. This next week we'll be having a chat with the great songstress Eleanor Shanley, and we'll be looking at events around the Corja, annual Corja Festival. Wempshire, Brendan Murray, Brigade Salon, for myself, Brendan Murray, and Mark Gavin on sound, many thanks. To our sponsors also, Pubble, the Arts Council, and Leitrim County Council. This show is available on all podcast platforms or through Ocean FM, and will be repeated at 8 p.m. on Sundays. Slán live.